there were many, many tradition, or Hashem, in the approach, both the Yonim of Rosh Hashanah, very powerful elements that changed the understanding of the nature of Tzom Gedalia and its tremendous importance in the entire story of the Aser Shemot Tshuva. If somebody is not muted, so I'm muting you. And we've already seen that it's not possible that Tzom Gedalia, being, as the Rambam describes it, as the end of the Churban, the Gachelet Ha'achlona, it was the last possibility of rebuilding that was crushed on that day, that should come out Gufa in the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah and should be part of the way in which the Shiva and the Chamusa do not fully address that which was still wrong that allowed the continuation of Churban. That must be part of the Aveda of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah that goes beyond the actual moment of Rosh Hashanah itself. And therefore, we need to be able to learn from Tzom Gedalia the most important decisions of the dinim of Tshuva and the application of Tshuva. There's no question of that. But that is the reason that it was Kavua. And we'll be talking about that through the eyes of Chazal in a moment. But first, the relationship of the Tzovim to Rosh Hashanah. People have a tremendous fear of Rosh Hashanah. There's a tremendous, even if it's out of fear, it's a very profound disquiet. People don't like Rosh Hashanah. Normally, the way in which we explain that to ourselves is that it's a some getter of Emas HaDin. The Din gets them nervous. They don't want to face Din. They don't want to be aware of the fact that their Maaseh matters so much that they have to take responsibility for themselves. The truth is, however, that it's very difficult to believe that the people that are so uncomfortable with Rosh Hashanah really have that darga of Emes Adin. That's the real thing that they're afraid of, and that they really take seriously the fact that they're going to have to take charge of themselves. It's highly unlikely that what we're witnessing is that essential response. And I think that the truth is that what we call Emes Adin, and I'm chayshish that even the famous Emes Adin of the Me'elul and so on, which infused the Shtetlach and so on, was much more than Emes Adin. It was something completely different, which was confused with Emes Adin. And that is that the Mitzias of Atem Mitzavim Hayom, remember as Chazal say that Mitzavim Hayom, that Hayom is always a remez, the Rosh Hashanah Gufa, which we learn out from Iyov, which has both the Lashon of Hayom and Nitzavim, and it's clearly describing over there the Amida, the Bezda Shomala on Rosh Hashanah, and it says that the Sutton came to be Maskin, and that was the opening of the whole book and the whole discussion, the relationship of Iyov, Avram Avinu, and so on. And of course, every other place where we find Hayom in Chazal, they always define it as a beautiful Zohar about Hayesh Daber Lach al Sarat Tzava, that there was a reference that the Novi was willing to be misfollowed for on Yom Adin because it says over there also Hayayom. But the deeper Nekuda, as Rashi says, is that Nitzavim, the reason for Parshas Nitzavim, is because since Yisrael was going to Parnas to Parnas, so it was coming from Moshe to Yoshua, which is a getter that we find in the whole opening of the Seches Chagiga, of the Shabbos of Yuzudi, which is the Lashon of the Sifri, which was the changeover from Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the tremendous inyanim that had to do with that, the Siras HaTorah on that level. And as the Sfas Emes so beautifully points out, and the Tziv also, essentially, says the same thing in different words, is that the reason that this relates to Rosh Hashanah, even though this is not Rosh Hashanah, is because Rosh Hashanah is the deepest mitzias of the change from Parnas to Parnas. It's an incredible insight, which means basically that the Hanhogas Hashem and the relationship that we are comfortable with, that we've had all the year round with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to keep. And people don't want Rosh Hashanah not because of the din, but because it's new. And the idea of Rosh Hashanah in that you'll be Yotze Kibriya Chadosha is the fear of transition. It's not simply the fear of freedom, for people who are not aimed on that Nakuda. It's I don't want to be shaken up. And if you think about inside of yourself, the deepest feeling that you have about coming towards Rosh Hashanah is that it shakes everything up. Why can't we just keep going? And the opportunity that is offered in the Yischachos of Kibriya Chadosha and the ability to be zeicher to a whole new way of living is not worth the shaking up process of transition. And the Raya, I mean, as the Rambam brings out in his famous analysis, we spoke about so many times in the Merit of Uchim, of the Vayhi B'Shalach Paro, which the Zohar also speaks about, that the Vayhi was the terrible pain of the transition to Klal Yisrael, which you think going out of Avdus is fun. It's not fun. It's horrible. And that this was expressed throughout the Midbar. Let's just go back. It was so wonderful there. The Chanos HaDagasha, which we think, what is that crazy? A person is involved in a rat race and in Shibud and so on. It's much better than facing something different. So that's how the Zohar puts it. Basically, these guys were going out into retirement. You say they're working their whole life for retirement, but the moment they get there, it's hell on earth. Look how many people die within the first year of retirement. That's awful. What am I now? What am I going to do now? Everything gets changed. Just let me keep working. I'd much rather keep working. And this was Mamish Ad Kedei Kach, was the biggest decision in the big part that we want to get back to Mitzrayim. The same thing is true on every Rosh Hashanah. We want to get back to what we had. I don't want to shake up. Things are basically comfortable. I can deal with what I have. There's problems. I'll daven for the problems. Whatever. I already know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know Zan Haga with me. I know my life. I'm comfortable enough with my life. And that's it. I'd rather be left alone. So the greatest difficulty we have is of truly being a Briya Chadosh. Now, Lamaisa, as Rashi brings, it's that the Yisurim themselves are Miyatzvim Etchem. And this concept of the Yisurim Miyatzvim Etchem, that which allows you to stand firm. Take a look at the, I was in the middle of telling you the Rambam, sorry, that the Rambam explains that the Lo Nacham Elohim Derech Eretz Plishtim Ki Karovu is because this is absolutely impossible, is what he says. He says, of course, I understand what's bothering you. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just make it that we go the fast way and that, you know, stop the plishtim from the war or give us the energy or help our psychology not to be like a bunch of frightened infants from war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu fighting on our side? Says the Rambam, that is the most important thing you have to understand about the nature of my separations. It is a process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interferes with the process. It's as idiotic to ask that question as to suggest that we should abolish childhood. What kind of nonsense is that? Why don't you just tell us the truth? Sure, why don't you just tell us the truth? How do you expect the Torah to tell you the truth, says the Rambam? You try telling a child the truth. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you monkeys, and he's going to be telling you the truth. You better be crazy to ask such a question. And I know you'll be furious to hear it, but this is the reality. The Torah cannot be telling you the truth. Of course not. It's only going to be telling you the path that is required for your development. But that means that it's kulay transition. The essence of the Torah, the Rambam is saying, is kulay transition. The transition between the end of the year and the beginning of the year is so complex that it takes us with Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, goes on. Sorry? No, it's okay, I got it. Sorry, Mike. Oops. Whoops. Well, read my lips. There will be more taxes. So, that's exactly the fear. So that complexity in which the Tkufas HaShanah is this very profound interrelationship, which takes us the entire month, basically, And if we include Elul and the Aliyah to Har Sinai and the Tkiyas Shofar, it's all part of this massive transition. And its essential experience within ourselves is the experience of transition. And that is our pain. So how are the Nitzavim, how is the Yisurim that we go through, and how are we supposed to sense that that is what is Miyatzvim? How does that, which becomes Hakel L'Deres, in which we experience the Torah as transition between one Shemitah and the other Shemitah, the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer Torah, how does it achieve that transition? How do we get from this profound discomfort, which is actually a real terror, it's not just discomfort, that fear of freedom is fear of his chachas. How do we go from that to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, oh, don't worry, karov elecha davar ma'od. It's easy. Lo niflati mimcha. What do you mean, lo niflati mimcha? It's the thing that everybody runs away from. You're telling me, lo niflati mimcha. You're telling me, you got to be crazy, like the Medrash says. I mean, only a madman, but it's already inside of you. What? I mean, it's bad enough for the fool who's too lazy to lift tamana b'ksil yadobit salachat. He's too lazy to lift up his piece of pasta and put it into his mouth. But oh, it's already in your mouth, for God's sake, you idiot. Why don't you just swallow? No, can't even do that. Is this the way we experience, really, teshuva? What is the meaning of the Eidus that Moshe Rabbeinu says is the way in which he's going to make it possible for us to be able to actually live that transition? That Eidus is not only Hazino, which often is Shabbat Shuvah, and even if not, then it's a transition between the first moments of the period and Sukkot. But Hazino is Kulo transition. At its point, either it's the transition from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, or it's the transition of the Aseres Yemei Shuvah through Sukkot. But that's its essence, because it actually expresses this. That what does Eidus have to do with transition? And anyway, what's the meaning of Eidus? What's a Chayach Eidus on a domain? How is Shemayim V'Aretz possibly an Eidus? How is the Sefer Torah possibly an Eidus? How is it that the Rambam could possibly say about a Sefer Torah that the reason that you have to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah is Lashon is because this Sefer Torah is, in its essence, it's the Eid HaNe'eman L'chol Ba'ei Olam, he says. You have to be Yoshe B'Koved Rosh Be'ema V'Fachad. That must be deeper than this Eima V'Fachad. Shohu Ha'Eid HaNe'eman L'chol Ba'ei Olam She'ne'emar V'Haya Sham B'chal La'Eid. La'Eid to what? To what? To the truth of Kabbalah Satorah? To what? What is the Eidus, for God's sake? And how is that aid is supposed to help us, and that the Rambam should stop saying it should be an aid, and you're not telling what the aid is? So where do we go from that, a Sefer Torah aid on Neman, to the most astonishing element of Eidus, of course, which is the Rambam's own unbelievable Chiddush? And that Rambam's Chiddush that nobody else was aimed on is that the whole Inyan of the Parsha of Shabbat Shuvah, which is the Haftarah itself, is a special new halacha in Eidus. And what is that halacha in Eidus? Ya'id alav yodiyat alumot she'eno yushav l'chid zeh ola. What is that supposed to mean, bichlal, ya'id alav yodiyat alumot? So again, I mean, as the simple mistake, which is that he has to be in a madrega in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be made on him that he'll never sin again. I mean, that obviously is insane, as some of the Nesek Kalim of the Rambam point out. I mean, Ein B'Kadosh Lo Yamin, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Eidus that you won't be shav. That's stupid. But Mela, what is the point of Ya'id Alav? Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be made. He has to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu the aid. Ya'id Alav. Be miyached, the aid on himself, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will not be shav v'dover zeliyayla. And where does the Rambam get this from? From Shabbat Shuvah, from the Pasuk. Al sus lo nirkav, v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maase yadenu. That's his raya. What in the world? Kind of crazy raya is that? Where does it say over here, Ya'id alav yodeyat alomos? Do you see any word over there about Eidus? This is a question that we speak about every year. And are oimed on the fact that the simple meaning of this Eidus is that obviously, Al Sus Lo Nirkav doesn't mean we won't ride horses. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to go ask Mitzrayim to help us. And it doesn't only mean doesn't mean, and we promise you we won't do Avodah Zarah. I mean, that obviously is not what the Rambam understands. So lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadenu, the Rambam understands as saying that our entire life is the creation of gods that are self-projections. And as long as one is doing teshuvah, from that point of view, you only end up with what we love to call the Ritchie syndrome, because it was he who brought it up originally in Hilchos Teshuvah. Well, it's true. Ritchie always gets a little embarrassed, like a little boy, when you mention that he's the genius here, but all right. So we do call it the Ritchie syndrome, which is that it does absolutely no good to do Teshuvah, because all that happens is you substitute some new insanity for the old insanity. That's all. What enables you to get, as Einstein points out, what enables you to get beyond the mind that created the problems using the same mind that created the problems? You're bound just to create a new problem. And this, we see this happening all the time. People supposedly being Isaac and Tshuva who become totally and completely insane, but mamish off the derech, where most of these places where they ask you for donations for their Tshuva movement, yeshiva or something, the response is, if only you would put the first picture as the second picture, the second picture as the first picture, I'd be glad to donate. It's funny, I said this to a guy once. He was collecting for one of these places. And he looks at me and he says, I know exactly what you mean. Amazing. Deep down, of course they know. How could this be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was? It's insane. Okay. So that is a problem, which until the person is willing, the simple way of understanding, we'll see that there's much more that's involved. Simple way of understanding this is that once the person relinquishes, and this goes hand in hand, this my Rebbe used to explain, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What is the connection of Asher b'chayu rucham yatom to the beginning of the pasuk? Lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadenu, Asher b'chayu rucham yatom. I mean, that's nonsense. What is Asher b'chayu rucham yatom that the orphan will only find mercy in you? And therefore, lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadenu? This is a brilliant explanation. I used to say this every Rosh Hashanah. Like with all of the force of his heart and personality, you cannot offer a guarantee for your next heartbeat. So who exactly is going to be taking care of the orphans, honey? So who are you to start offering explanations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing tshuvas of your projections, if your projections aren't enough to give yourself another instant of life, and you're going to have to ask God to take care of the orphans when the insurance runs out? It's a beautiful insight. Asher b'chayu ruchav yatom, you have the chutzpah to be nomer Eloheinu l'maaseh yadenu when you don't have the kayach of anything, not the simplest thing you don't have. But yes, you're on top of the world so that you understand exactly where to go with your tshuva, everything is fine. So that idea, the simple idea of the Rambam, is in relinquishing that moral arbiter status that you have for yourself, and in simply facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the reality of the Olam as it is, that opens you up to cracking through the nuttiness that allowed the situation to arise in the first place. But that doesn't explain to us the nature of this Eidus. It doesn't seem to be any connection to Hazinu as Eidus, to the Torah as Eidus, to the Sefer Torah as the Eid HaNe'eman. It seems to be saying that we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we know you're very good at reading minds, so We'll trust your read of the situation. I mean, that is not what the Aedus is. Aedus is Aedus. Aedus is witnessing. So in that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's psak on the inyan, how does that relate to witnessing? So I'm giving it over into your hands. Whatever you say goes, yes. But that's not called witness. So making HaKadosh Baruch Hu the witness, even if you want to extend the concept of witness, that is to say, I'm making it clear and stating in court that you and only you will define what it is that I've agreed to do. Like Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, I know you got your fingers crossed behind your back. When you say, yes, yes, anything God says, anything God says, al pi da'atenu, of course, that's the Gemara, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, no, it's not al pi da'atcha. It's al pi da'ati, and it's al pi da'as bezdin, and now you have nothing to say about the matter. Brilliant insight in the Gemara, right? Yes, Na'aseh v'nishma. Fantastic. It's a classic human Na'aseh v'nishma, right? And that, of course, what the Gemara says, PM was mefateh, but libam rachok, but okay, fine, v'racham yichaperavon. Anyway, okay, you think I didn't know that you had all in mind all kinds of other explanations. Okay. But lemaisa, it is not the same sense of hu ha'ed ha'neman that we were talking about in terms of the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's the Eitza. It can't be that those two things are unrelated. And we're just using the word aid as some kind of strange comparison where the entire transition, all through Nitzavim, rather all through Vayelech and all through Ha'azinu, is entirely in terms of Eidus, and the result of the Ksiva Sefer Torah is Eidus, and that it should be set aside. It actually becomes the Heftz of the Eidus in the time of Yoshiyahu, when they discover the Sefer Torah. What exactly is going on that allows us to face the Inyanim of Rosh Hashanah and to be able to say, Lo niftaiti michem v'lo rechokahi ki karov elecha davar ma'od, and not to feel that that's just a joke. So let's discuss the actual experience of Rosh Hashanah as it's brought in Sefer Nehemiah, in which everybody gathers together and they ask for Hakel, which is Nitzavim. So they call everyone together and they insist that Ezra has to read this Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, which is the very Sefer Torah that was given La'ed. So obviously they are trying to recreate, it was the Noshim and the Taf, and Kol Yisrael had together, gathered together, not only had together, gathered together, but had to gather together upon penalty of losing everything that they own if they don't show up. It was a tremendous chirim of the call. Everybody's got to be there, and they all gather together. These were the gatherings in Ezra Lechem. So what exactly happens over there? So we have this beautiful story in which Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Leviim are very upset because they see everybody is crying. It's Rosh Hashanah. They're re-mechanech the Beis HaMikdash. Same with Shlomo HaMelech was on Yom Kippur. This comes out on Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, they're in Yonim. Shlomo's went through Sukkot. Yom HaKippurim, Sukkot. It's all part of this transition. Learning what it is to live with the Beis HaMikdash, not a simple transition. And of course, it has everything to do with the thing that caused all of these days to need to be there as a transition, which was the fact that there was a Churban. And that Churban goes all the way back to the original problems of Kfiyas Teiv and all of the issues that were in Gan Eden. This is the period that's supposed to be Mitaken the Churban. So we understand that we've gotten far enough to be able to be at least deal with the issue of the Shviras Haluchas on Yom HaKippurim. And in that, we resurrected the Luchas Shniyim and to an entirely new Hanhaga, which Moshe Rabbeinu was Keveya through his Tfilas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to accept the compromise of HaShocheni Tam B'toch Tumosam. But we have not been able to deal with the deeper problem. The deeper problem as it impinges on life at every single moment, which is the Hester HaShchina, which is the Anochi Aster Hastir, which we began dealing with in Purim, which we'll see has everything to do with Rosh Hashanah for some crazy reason.
So what happens is everybody is crying because they just feel, look, I mean, this Beis HaMikdash that we're sitting over here is a joke. It's a garbage dump. You know, we had this beautiful Beis HaMikdash. We go to 70 years. Everything's supposed to be betukan. We come back. We've got this broken down building that's made by a bunch of primitive builders who don't even know what they're doing. I mean, it's hopeless. It's horrible. And they were just completely hopeless. So now it's Rosh Hashanah, and they're davening, and they're hoping for a tikkun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be done them, l'schus, and they're crying on Rosh Hashanah, and everybody's praying for some change and so on. And so the Levim were sent around by Ezra and Nehemiah to tell everybody that it's osur to cry, and that you have a completely wrong understanding of what is going on today. In fact, Chedvat Hashem hi me'uschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's joy in today, that is your strength. Instead of crying, why don't you go home and have some coke, shtumam takim, ichlu mashmanim, go ahead and have a nice meal, take out the chocolate, have some coke, and shilchu manot la'inachono, send shalach manis. Shalach Manis, when you're getting mixed up, you think today's Purim, but we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. And it says the most amazing thing, which I think is the only time in history that there was ever such an amazing day. The amazing day was that it says that they did that. And why did they do it? Kehevinu, they understood what they were being told. Can you imagine? People understanding what they were being told is mamish from the greatest nisim in all of history. So they understood what they were being told, and that's what they did. Instead, they were asu simcha gedola. They ended up making this immense simcha, which is not simcha gedola, an immense simcha. It means a different type of simcha, which is a simcha gedola, as opposed to the simple gudyantev, and so on and so forth. It was a simcha in which they ended up being mishtatev in chedvat Hashem, which is a simcha gedola that goes beyond, and of course, that initial opening of Rosh Hashanah ends up at the end of the transition as being the makor of Simcha Shal Mitzvah, as the Rambam brings in Hilchos Lulav, and is the tikkun of the very thing which was the cause of the churban, which is Tachas Asher Lo Avadta Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav Avadta M'Toyvechem. This becomes now that discovery of Simcha, which begins Dafka and Rosh Hashanah of all crazy things, and evolves ultimately into the most wonderful Simcha of Sukkot. We're over there, we have all of the dinim of the Simcha Yisera, and that was the Gedah Beis HaMikdash, and it was the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, which goes all the way back, as the Mishnah says, that it goes, it's from Sheshish Yimei Bereshis, because it's Borah Shis. So it was from the oldest Mekoros of Simcha, touched the very Mekoros that Rosh Hashanah itself touches. Of course, because that's what Rosh Hashanah is about, correct? Rosh Hashanah is touching once again the ultimate reishis, Hayom Harat Holam. This was the beginning of creation in terms of Adam. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conception of creation, depending on the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, the way that Tosfos explains our gears in Hayom Harat Holam. And therefore, as the Medrash goes through every step that Adam HaRishon went through on that day in which he was created, the ability to choose, which is the Bacharta B'chaim that we mentioned over here. His choosing death instead of life. L'man tichyeh. The Amida B'tshuva. V'shav Hashem Elokecha. Adam HaRishon was Chazer B'tshuva. V'ata. V'ata in V'ata L'tshuva. And the Medrash ends up, Kishem Shamad Adam B'din L'fanai B'yom Hazeh. Kach Atem Tamdu L'fanai B'din. V'kishem Shiyotza B'dimus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a place to live, a place of profound compromise, a place of death, a place outside of Gan Eden. That's exactly what we end up with, even with Yom HaKippurim, a place of profound compromise. So that so too will you be Yotze B'Dimus, that's your Dimus. And you too will face that din. So that means we're touching some very fundamental forces of creation. Then the Chedvat Hashem Yimeuschem has got to mean something more than you can soothe your psychological pain and your terrors of what the din may hold in store for you and the horrors of a Holocaust to come, because Chedvas Hashem, that's your strength. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Teva of the Bria and went to create the Teva of the Bria, and there's nothing in it for him. There's only for you, L'Tev Lanu Kol HaYamim, so you can be happy. That's not the point, obviously, of Chedvas Hashem Yimuzka. It's not just psychological. It's translated into an immediate Aveda. It's not that he's telling them, listen, you don't have to cry. You can have a piece of chocolate, you know, like Professor Lupin. That's not the idea. The idea is you have to have a piece of chocolate. This is an Aveda. To be shaleach manas leinoch, that is an Aveda. You must understand that Aveda and do it. And they were hochu v'yasu exactly kihevinu. They understood what it was that they were being told to do, which is extremely complex and not at all open on a casual reading. So then that means it's a deep, it's a literal energy. We say chedvas Hashem mu'uschem. Mu'uschem means your strength, your power to be able to sit there, not like Richie with his eyes closing, but rather to be infused with immense energy that comes directly from, Richie only does that to illustrate to us what it's like not to have chedvat Hashem, of course. But you see how bad it can get. They can even walk away with your iPad and you don't even notice. He was smart this time he left at home. So it means that it's an actual new energy. What is the nature of that energy? How exactly does it relate to Hazinu and to the concept of Edus overall and to the Rambam's insight of the nature of Edus's involvement in the actual process of Teshuvah? So I would like to analyze with you, in terms of the Hazinu, a completely different way of seeing Hazinu itself, which talks about these profound patterns in history. And as Rashi says, this is the way it was, and this is the way it will be. And you can understand that there's this constant flow of history that you have to recognize, and it doesn't really matter if you're mefarish it this way, mefarish it that way, and that's why I took half of the parsha was mefarish like Bermuda, and the other parsha was mefarish the other. It doesn't really matter, because ultimately we're looking at patterns that affect both the past, the future, and the reality is that the most tremendous difference between the idea of choice in Ubacharta Bachayim and the idea of teshuvah, as the Karov Elecha Me'od, is simply this. Choice defines a future. It gives you a new future. Teshuva gives you a new past. A new past is infinitely more powerful than a new future, because all of the future draws from that past. And it's therefore a power, which, as the Rambam says, look, choice is part of the human condition. Teshuva is insane. And that it could be that the din is nice and that you cannot have tshuva, even though you have choice. You're stuck because you're unable to change the past because it means so much to you. Fine. That's part of the fear of transitions. So now, how exactly does Hazinu deal with that idea by simply showing you the threads of a pattern? And this is supposed to make sense to you as Kiloti Shachach, which of course brings us straight to the Zichrayimais. And this becomes the Kisvul HaKamitza Shira HaZayz, is the Etzem Metzias of the Torah, which is La'ed. It's the actual Mokar of the Chiyav of the Torah of the Eid. And what's most important is that, as the Sfas Emes points out, any teshuva is essentially going to Reishis. Because teshuva means to go back. Go back to a pristine, clear-cut way of recognizing where things are coming from. And that's only Reishis. So if Rosh Hashanah is a re-experiencing of, literally, Zeichel Yom Rishon, which is what we literally say, this is the day of Reishis, Zikaron Yom Rishon. such that the Zichronos take us back to that Yom Rishon. The Tkiyat Shofar takes us back to the moment of Briyaz, Reb Sadia Gaon points out. And the Shofaros, or the Shofaros that are Kollel now, all of history with exactly the same strange patterns that Hazinu speaks about. The concept of the Malchus, we understand that the essence of the Malchus is, as the Gemara says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Malchus, and that's the way that we end our psukim of Malchus, because to recognize that we're not talking about a cheapo Malchus in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world which evolved. We're talking about the Mokar, the Yichud, out of which all of the complexity emerged. So we're talking about the deepest sense of Reishis that we experience on Reishis. So let me speak to you in terms of the experiential keach of what the direct perception of such a thing as an Eidus is. Eidus obviously does not mean that Shamayim Va'aretz sit and talk to you. But remember that Eidus, as we use the word in a courtroom setting, is a borrowed term. It doesn't mean anything. The fact that eyewitnesses describe something, as the Rambam says, is nonsense. Why in the world would you think that these two idiots, who happen to be the two Aiden, have any connection to an interpretation of reality, remembering reality, or that they haven't laid down their memories 10,000 times since then, which no longer bear any resemblance to what happened? How do you know? Says Rambam, you don't. You know, it's basically the Torah says, look, you do the best you can, you know? So this is your mitzvah. Pretend that eyewitnesses actually know what they're talking about. Okay, same thing is true about Nevi'is. You know that this guy is a Navi, says the Rambam. The Torah gives you a mitzvah to listen to a Navi until he disproves himself and shows himself to be an idiot. And until then, if he's in, if we understand in him that he's a tremendous tzaddik, he's the Gadol HaDor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then, you know, maybe he really is a Navi. I don't know. You know, if he says something stupid like, God told me to tie your shoelaces on the left foot first, so you shoot him, fine. Okay, I understand. But until he says something stupid, you know, so now he's Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Now he's Big Tzaddik. Okay. Right? This is how we look at it. It's unbelievable understanding of the Rambam. So real Eidus, of course, is something much more profound than somebody just claiming that he saw something. And in his ability to state that, we recreate the scene in front of the best and the best in Paskins according to that recreation, which is basically what Ada says. The witnesses say to the judges, we saw the new moon, and then they could be Makadosh the new moon. If the judges themselves saw the new moon, they cannot be Makadosh the new moon, because you can't be Makadosh the new moon at night, and the next day they only remember that they saw the new moon. You can't be Makadosh new moon from your memory. You have to see the new moon. How do you see the new moon? The witnesses, when they say, we saw the new moon, that's when we see it. And if the witnesses, Chas v'Shalom, say, we heard this guy being nekev as Hashem, then you have to tear your clothes. What if to tear your clothes? Because you just heard that guy being nekev as Hashem. And that's the din. But if it's Hashem, you hear kilas Hashem, you have to tear your clothing. But obviously that is a sad, sad, poor reflection of the nature of real Eidus. Real Eidus means that you come face to face with the thing. Then that means that when the Rambam says that the Sefer Torah is the aid ha-ne'eman, it's not an aid to something. When Azinu Shamayim Va'aretz, it's not an Eidus to something. It's a recreation of what is. It's not something childish. Oh, this is the Eidus that God said X, Y, or Z. No, of course not. Standing in front of a Sefer Torah should leave you be'ema ve'fachad, because you are in front of reality. There's nothing else to do. There's nowhere to hide. Sitting in front of Shamayim Va'aretz is sitting in front of reality. And as the Rambam says, that Shamayim Va'aretz is the Shamayim Varetz of Reishis. Reishis, Bara, Lakim, Es HaShamayim Ves Aretz. The Shamayim Varetz HaRishonim. The primal Shamayim Varetz, with all of those implications Kabbalistically. But the fact is that it really is Shamayim Varetz in your terms, and there is a real Eidus of Shamayim Varetz. Now, what is that Eidus? So here is my suggestion for your attempting to experience what it would mean to hear Chedvat Hashem mi Me'uzchem, to listen to what Malchus and Zichronos and Shefres are actually presenting in front of you, not saying to you. When you are listening to Shamayim Va'aretz, what you are doing is you are becoming aware of the primal forces of creation that became Shamayim Va'aretz, that became you, that became all complexity, that became the most intimate parts of you. Those particles that emanated from that first intense yichud, which we talk about in terms of physics as the Big Bang, but the Arizal spoke about as the Nekuda, out of which everything explodes and emerges. It doesn't matter what language you speak. But when you're talking about something that is an expansion of what was initially an absolute yichud, and even in terms of physics, all of the forces that we see today were initially, at the moment of the Big Bang, a single force in which they're all unified. So that concept of yichud that gradually breaks up into the streams of complex quantum interactions that we are familiar with in terms of our own physics. Those are what are thinking, gentlemen. There's not a you that thinks. It's those particles, it's those quantum interactions, it's those silly movements of ions across the membranes of your silly little on-off neurons, and all of the complex interactions on multiple levels of growing complexity, groups of neurons, interrelationships of groups. All of those things are exactly the same energies that were put out at that instant in which everything streamed from that first moment of absolute Malchus and Yichud. So then that means there's nothing more intimate in you than that Shamayim Va'aretz. It's not just the silly stuff as Carl Sagan speaks about, you know, we're all stardust and so on. That's child's play. Because that leads to the mistake of thinking each and every one of us experiences themselves as this entity. And then to explain what's going on in this entity, we understand that we need to go back, obviously, to biology and from there to chemistry and from there to neurophysics and from there to basically to quantum mechanics, or we'll never get anywhere. We understand that, but that's the way it works. No, that's not the way it works. The interrelationship between those forces ended up making your body. The interrelationship between those forces are continuing to be what it is that you're aware of, with what you're aware of, not just what you're aware of, for heaven's sakes. That is your thought. There is no other thought. That's an astonishing thing. So these threads that emanate from Bereishis become so complex, so interwoven, that you simply forget that they're interwoven, as Chazal puts it. It's a coat. It's a coat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wearing that was made out of pure energy. Ota Or Kasalma. That light became the coat that he wears, which becomes the cosmos, which becomes so complex in its interwoven nature, which is why we call, remember, a Masechet, because it's so interwoven. The word for context in Latin means mesechet. A mesechet is the piece of the weaving machine that you set up the weave on. It's the loom. It is indeed a magical loom. So all of this complexity emerges from those simple threads. Can you taste those threads? Because essentially, the concept of Malchus is to recognize how those threads emerge. The shofros are the description of the profound interwoven complexity, which is why we have tkiah and trua, which is why we have shvarim and trua and tkiah, and they're interrelated. The simple meaning of the ongoing flow of particles is tkiah. The complexity and the problems that are created from complexity are the different dargas that the Zohar describes as trua and shvarim trua, and the ways in which to us everything gets stuck. You understand? And you literally can hear these things. It's like the beautiful sound of a pure sine wave, and you can watch these threads emanating, and then they get so mixed with each other that instead of having everything, and that's what you feel about yourself. You experience your life as because it's all so complicated that you have no idea where it's going to. And it's because of this, the most amazing thing, that you cannot do teshuvah unless you hear the relationship of tkiah, trua, shvarim. Why is that? Because look, if teshuvah in fact gives you a different past, how far back can you go? You experience the depths of your own infantile past as being absurdly and hopelessly lost in darkness. There is nothing there but the reptilian infant mind that seeks for itself everything, and all pleasures are just its own masturbatory sense of interrelating with things for its own purposes. There is nothing there that has light. There is nothing there that shines without kina. There is no love without selfishness. There's nothing that it perceives that could possibly emerge as light. So at what point do you stop in your search for teshuvah? How dark is your psychology? How insane were the experiences of your childhood? Everybody stops. What do you want to do? Go to a psychiatrist? This is the derech of teshuvah. The only possible gilui of or in all of that, and the only way out of Einstein's problem, is to get so far beyond the local construction of your own self that to recognize that in the flow of life that gave birth to that, there is only light. Because then you see it from the perspective of how those threads emerged with the insane abilities that you have now to be able to look at that past and to perceive how it could be different. But to take the simple meaning of Heter Nedarim and its relationship to Tshuva, the simple question of Daitcha Halach, would you have made this Neder? Who are you saying that to? A two-year-old? Which piece of yourself are you saying that to? Daita chalot, what das? What do I know from anything except to take it, to steal it, to greedily absorb the world around me? And yet, once you trace those threads back to Reishis, then that sense of being that permeates even the simplest organisms, the most basic roots of consciousness in which something is itself, seeks its survival, ultimately desires the Bachartem Bachayim insofar as it can perceive of the concept of life, all of a sudden it becomes very not frightening. All of a sudden it becomes part of the development of all biology. And then, of course, it goes far beyond biology. Why stop at biology? Do you think that when Chazal spoke about the Beis HaMikdash being built of the Evan Ashesia, that the great, wonderful thing was just 4.5 billion years ago? Oh, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this stone, and this stone became the single differential in gravitational wells in space for this planet around with Rigavim came together, and it turned into the Evan Ashasia after a number of billion years of geological movements and so on. That's very impressive to us. That's stupid. That's child's play. 4.5 billion years. My God. Now, what would that mean? That rock itself was not part of the flow of those original energies? That they didn't have within them? That the Reva Gvatzalaya Amodo Yodimi Makom Acher? That the Chibur that you have to all of life, what, it just began then? Because the planet just began then? How small time are you? Obviously, that itself is only a local phenomena to build a base of makers for a local life form in some out-of-the-way galaxy. But what's the difference? Every last aspect is the Evan Ashasia ultimately. More. Let's take the next step. The next step are the Zichrones. What are Zichrones? To remember my Sibereshis, remember the creation of Adam Arishon, remember Noach, remember the Mabul, remember all the Chayos that were with him in the Teva, remember what's coming, Leosid Lova, Valach B'Sa'arot Teman, remember all of that? Well, what does that have to do with the particles? Same asininity. It's not bad enough that we view ourselves as entities which do not really exist except insofar as you are part of the flow of that incredible moment of expansion. But we view history as things that happen to us. And that is totally crazy. Because in reality, do you not understand that you can break history up in exactly the same way you break up biology? And in the same way you break up galaxies? It's exactly the same thing. It's just more complex. So instead of having simple particles or semi-constructs of particles and quarks and so on, you have much more complex, well, biology you do too. You know, what good are quarks if you need neurons? I'll try to have neurons without quarks. But the point is that those neurons ultimately essentially become new particles that are psychologies, that are hormones, that are ideals, that are ideas, that are societies, that are wars, that are competitions, that are nuclear science, that are H-bombs. It's the same particles. It's just far more complex interaction of greater aggregates of those particles and energies. That's all. History is exactly the same as the Evan Ashasia. There's no difference whatsoever. It just appears to you, because of the level of complexity, that it couldn't possibly be part of the same threads that are coming. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? You're just looking at the interim stages of the development of complexity, which to you equals a world in which the New York Times prints everything but the news, and you can't understand how that could happen. Very simple. The same way everything happens. It's all simple. Except that it's full of the Trua and the Shvarim. That's true. But ultimately, the Tkia is a profound relationship at beginning and end to all of the process in the middle. So in experience that, you experience the direct threads of the energies of Reishis, which become those things that can interact to become the particles that can become you. But before that, they have to become stars, and they have to become second generation stars, and then they have to go nova, and all kinds of crazy things. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of blah, 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 blah in the middle, but that's, you know, that's part of what is built into the process. And in the end, they become the interaction of life forms, which then starts getting a little bit more complicated, because then they do need hormones, then they do need wars, then they do need competition, then they do need a few billion years here and there of developing new weaponry and ways of continuing their infantile selves, and ultimately become history, and society. And basically, the Avanashasi is sort of a midpoint, you know. Yeah, that's 4.5 billion years ago. You go back before that, another 4.5 billion years. Go forwards, another 4.5 billion years. You know, that's right. But you know what that means? That when Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the Mikdash, he comes into the Mishkan. Vayishma ata kol midaber elav. What is the midaber elav? Midaber. Rashi says it's derech kovet shalmaila. You remember the wonderful, wonderful pshat in Sifurna. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always speaking to himself. Because when you're speaking to yourself, there's no limits. And when others are listening in as much as they can get, that's what they'll get. If I have to speak to you, I have to speak to a monkey. If I speak to myself, then when the monkey gets past 2001, maybe he can understand something. So I'll always speak to myself. The amazing thing is that nature is always speaking to itself. Everything that we hear of Azinu is speaking to itself. The cosmos speaks to itself. The Kol HaShofar is whatever darga of your connection to the Shmiya of those basic issues. What bigger edus is there? It's not an edus about something. It's an edus to experience the nature of the reality of yourselves and the universe in which you are embedded. And that, of course, is the way teshuva. Teshuva is about discovering yourself, nothing else. It's about the reishis within you. It's about the honesty and the reality of going back to the sheresh of your own being. This is Rav Kook points out so beautifully in the Aris HaTshuva. Anything else is phony. People who say that they're doing tshuva without getting back to themselves, it's ridiculous. It's obviously going to be the Ritchie syndrome. How could they get beyond it? They have no interest in discovering themselves as realities. They continue this infantile pretense of being something, which then is terrified by the change. And the immediate result of it is, Lishloach manot la'ein lo. Why? Because you're part of one fundamentally integrated experience of reality, and anyone else that hears that song is part of you. You can't bear that someone shouldn't have. That's Mishloach Manos, and it's directly connected, of course, to the essence of the Milchama with Amalek and Purim, because Amalek is anti-Zikara. Amalek is anti anything but the interpretation that you put on as a layer, a postmodernist layer over the nature of reality. And on the contrary, the fact that reality means nothing is what they're mitdagel in. Whereas it's exactly the more we penetrate into the insight of Amalek, the more profoundly, and this is why Haman was always one step ahead of us, why we were never given the right to wipe out Amalek. We need them. We build our perception of the rawness of reality on Amalek. And that's why they're called Reishis. But they're called Reishis Goyim Amalek. So that ultimately, this is the essential difference between the nature of Yisrael that is a Mavakesh Tshuva and goes back to the original Kibbukah Hashem Tzorei Lomim, in which the Hey of Olam Hazeh is the opportunity for teshuva and getting back into the reality of what it is, versus those who seek the deconstruction and the disconnection of every one of those accidental results and sees them as coming from nothing that integrates them. None of this is to be confused with teleology. None of this is to be confused with mechanical planning or anything of the sort. It simply is the nature of being. It's the nature of the space in which you're embedded. It's the nature of the kol that is there. And because of that, the deepest search in this arvus, which is a chiddush of the parsha, is gufa, the search for love. Oh, not the search of the popular tunes for love. Those are searches for having somebody love you. Those are searches for infantile love. Those are searches for taking. Those are searches for infatuation. Those are searches for living in an artificial reality. Those are the searches that will destroy your ability to ever discover yourself. The quest for love is the quest to be able to give love, to share love, to be able to take those threads and to have them connect more and more of what exists on the earth so that it is all part of the most incredible recognition of what actually unites us. And that makes up the entire difference between the darkness of self as you go backwards and the light of self once you're mechaberet with these malchus, zichreinus, and shofreis. And this goes so, so far beyond the original beginnings in Kitavo, in which the nature of reishis for us was spelled out there, along with the nature of history, along with the nature of bris, along with the nature of eni kafui tova, and going back to Adam Rishon. But look at what a simpler level, simply because it lacked the eidos. So it was all about the individual's ability to get beyond the need to prove his separateness. It was all about the ability to engage in the agriculture of the earth and the love of the planet and the knisa to Eretz Yisrael, as if that were the end of the reishis. But the reishis here and over there, it became, of course, history as well. The deeper the history, mitchilo of the avodah zarah avosenu, a history that takes us all the way back to the haftach or to the ema chashecha gedola, which appears in Maaseh Bereishis as v'aretz ha'aseh tov v'vo v'choshech al pnei tahom. Yeah, it went all the way back, but it didn't touch the energies. It touched the facts. This new idea gives us that concept of that mosaic identity far beyond things that happen to us that I can sense are so much part of myself. It becomes the literal material out of which I'm made, not the things that I know about that are the past. And that shofros literally provides that, in which case the Tera, as the Eda Ne'eman, is also the Kli Chemda Shebo Nivra Olam, because it's the only Kli that you have to becoming connected to the insane complexity of how those threads interrelate. Those are the Shivim Panim L'Tera. That's the nature of Bina, out of which all the possible interactions, as the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, Kol Tuvi L'Fanecha, was Moshe Rabbeinu's being given the ability to see every possible interrelationship of every single particle and all of its possible results as being the various Ponim Shel Torah, and he proves it from the Pasuk. Vayara Elohim es kol asher asa v'hine tov ma'od. That means kol tuvi, says the Rambam, can only be defined as kol asher asa. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make things. He only makes possibilities. Exactly, says the Rambam. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was given. The ability to see all of the insane possible permutations of what that complexity could come out with, each one of them being a specific way in which the Torah will allow things to evolve, in which a person can connect to it with that vision of where it could go, even it becomes Memtes Panim L'Tairas HaSheretz. That's also there. This goes so far beyond the Haskalah. So that discovering that the darkness within us is essentially the Ora Gonos, it's essentially the same light as the menorah, means that the Sefer Torah, as Eidos, comes hand in hand here with the Anochi Hastir Hastir Espanai. That Hastir Hastir becomes the Rabbeinu Bacha, the Ava Musuteret, which is the Etzem presence of the Shekhinah, as the nature of love in creation, the underlying energy of creation, is that anybody that discovers the complexity of those threads is in touch with the most powerful sense of interconnectedness, that there is nothing that is a more profound experience of love. And this is something that even scientists can have just by letting go and having the simple sense of the physical interrelationship, even if they haven't yet worked out psychology, they haven't yet worked out history. There's the understanding that ultimately this is not meant to be soft science. It's meant to be an incredible insight into the nature of being. It's just such a slow process to be able to go from the simple description of things in the early Renaissance and in the denial of scientific ability to deal with things that are emergent. So that the word consciousness was actually poison until very recently in any scientific conference. You automatically knew you were dealing with cranks the moment they would talk about that, because there's no such objective phenomena. And so on and so forth. The things that were totally locked away are becoming more and more part of the purview of what at least we know must be, what has to become something that is clear, or we are not yet in the world. And therefore, it can only be addressed by the Ava Musteris. And therefore, and here is the crux of the amazing moment of Song Gedalia. It can only be addressed by the inversion of the very energies that create the Churban in the first place, which is the Ashrei Adam Mefache Tamid U'Makshe Libo Yipo Bera'a. Because ultimately, what that Yefache Tamid means is that he will take absolutely nothing as comfortable. Nothing as a given. Everything is a terror. So you're afraid of Rosh Hashanah? The possibilities are endless, my dear. It isn't Rosh Hashanah that creates those possibilities. It's the threads of possibility that have been there from the beginning, which you are so comfortably hiding yourself from. And you hate thinking about how the earth may not be inhabitable in a very short time. And you hate thinking about how is it that we can get rid of that asteroid that's aimed at us. And you hate thinking about the coming market collapses. And you hate thinking about death and the loss of everything that was meaningful to you. Yeah, you hate thinking about it, knowing full well that you damn well better think about it or there's going to be big trouble. Okay. So then the Ashrei Adam Mefache Tamid is built into the nature of Tikkun. Now, before we continue, we must hear the most amazing thing, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself makes the announcement that the proof of concept of the Churban, the proof that the Churban was entirely the only right thing to do is Tzom Gedalia. Can you imagine? Now, nobody realizes this, but it's a beferish pasuk. And it's an absolutely astounding pasuk. Now, listen to the deal. Let's just remember how we always relate Tzom Gedalia specifically to the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and to the Rambam's Chiddush, that Lo Nomar Od Eloheinu L'Maaseh Yadeinu is in fact a chiyuv in Hilchos Teshuva of a Yoyed Alav Yodea Ta'alumai She'un Hilchos L'Dabur Zavyad. What is that? Well, it's the fact that only one time in history was there an actual event exactly like that, in which the entire tzibur that gathered together, men, women, and children, made Hashem the aid ne'eman on themselves to do everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And that was Tzom Gedalia. And what happened? What is the story? Well, the story is that on Rosh Hashanah, Gedalia is murdered. Now, the reason that he's murdered is amazingly because he knows the answer to the Churban, you see. So brilliantly, being the sole remaining remnant of Malchus Beis David at the time, he says there's only one way to cure, it's like we say today, there's only one way to cure Sinas Chinam is with Avas Chinam. So he makes the same idiotic statement. There's only one way to cure Lashon Hara, and that is by not speaking Lashon Hara, and by not even paying any attention to Lashon Hara. And that will be the final tikkun for Klal Yisrael. So he is presented with a wonderful opportunity to turn the whole Churban bias around. What is that? Yochanan ben Kireach, who is terrified that Gedalia may be murdered because he's aware of the political ramifications for Yishmael ben Netanyahu of there still being a Bovel supported Malchus in Eretz Yisrael, comes to Gedalia and he says to him, listen, I happen to know that Yishmael ben Netanyahu is planning on murdering you. And despite the fact that he's a Gadol Hador and everything else, you've got to believe this because the whole future of Klal Yisrael is dependent on it. Says Gedalia to him, Sheker ata dover, chas v'shalom. Refuse to believe such thing. Why? So he doesn't believe it, sure enough. In walks Yishmael ben Netanyahu, shoots everybody in the room, dumps the bodies in a pit. Other people are coming that have found the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, are distraught. We're told that there's a chance of survival if they join up Gedalia ben Achikam. Yishmael sees them coming, murders the rest of them, throws them in the pit too. And that pit is referred to in the Navi of the people that Gedalia murdered. The Gemara says, Gedalia murdered? Somebody's confused. Yishmael ben Netanyahu murdered them. He was the one who murdered Gedalia. No, says the Gemara. Gedalia murdered them because he refused to accept Lashon Hara. What? I mean, the Gemara says the Churban was because of Lashon Hara. And the Rambam says, Tzom Gedalia is to remind us that the last chance of avoiding the total Churban was lost by these people. So how was it lost? By deciding that the solution to Sinas Chinam is Avas Chinam. Very simple. And that means that what you do is you simply take the same absurd assumptions that you began with, and you say, okay, and by the way, this happened on Tisha B'Av, the first Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem Bechitem Bechia Shechinam. You're going to cry every Tisha B'Av. We have the solution, say the people. We didn't want to go up to Eretz Yisrael. We'll go up, come hell or high water. No, says Moshe, no. Bad idea. No, watch. We're going to go up and that should do it because it's the exact opposite of what we did wrong. And we're going to die to go up. Oh, says Moshe, please, no, you don't do this. Then they do this and they get wiped out. And it's tremendous, Hashem, and this becomes, of course, the equivalent of the original chait. So it deepens the original problem. The unwillingness to recognize that Lashon Hara has nothing to do with hearing bad things about people. It has to do with personalizing information. But since that's too complex for you, it's very simple with the Ritchie idea is, okay, if you got into trouble for talking Lashon Hara, you can get out of trouble by doing tshuva and doing the opposite, which of course is just as bad, if not worse. Oh, Yishmael, says the Gemara, but I thought you're not allowed to believe it. Did I ever say to believe it, says Rava? Did I ever tell him to be Mekabalit? I told him that since this was the information that was being given, how could he just ignore the information? What does that have to do with believing it? Well, what was he supposed to do? Well, you should have people with machine guns trained on Yishmael the whole time. Well, doesn't that mean he believes it? Of course not. Why should he believe it? I don't believe it. But it's information that has to be dealt with. Does that make it personal that I should believe it? He's a no good, that he's a murderer? Is it possible? Yes. Okay, so deal with it. Fine. Why does that change my relationship to it? That's all personal. Life in reality, is about avoiding the personal. No personalization, says the Rambam. That was the original problem in Gan Eden. Who came up with a word, tov v'ra, for God's sake? Doesn't even make sense. What is good and evil? What does that even mean? You're in a creation in which things are either true or not true. How can they be good or evil? And the Rambam's beautiful example is, if somebody tells you that the earth is flat, is he wrong or is he evil? And if somebody tells you the earth is spherical, is he right or is he righteous? No, he's only right. He's not righteous. He's only wrong. He's not evil. So where did evil come into it? Where did right and wrong come into it? Why isn't right only correct? Why is right the opposite of wrong? See how confused you are, says the Rambam? You personalized being and non-being. It's absurd. It's that personalization that created the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, and it's that personalization that drives you bananas, which is exactly why you're still eating them, and exactly why you never got away from the original problem in terms of the Churban. You're still back in Gan Eden being dumped. Okay. Now, if that's the case, how does it translate into Tzom Gedalia? Okay, so now I understand that's what happened with Gedalia. But what happened after Gedalia? And that, says Yechezkel, is the proof of concept of Churban. What happened after Gedalia? Yeah. Yechezkel HaNavi says, the proof of concept of the Churban is what happened in the 10 days, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. This happened on Rosh Hashanah. The Aseres Yemei Tshuva are the proof of concept of the Churban, in which once you see what I'm going to show you, you are all going to look at the Churban and you're going to clap. And you're going to feel so happy. You're going to say, oh, thank God there was a Churban, because the idiots that were living there needed to be gotten rid of. Wow. How is that? Oh, well, it's pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel says like this, look. Hine notraba pleita. Look, let me tell you something, you know. You think you went through hell over here, right? Cherev, Rov, Dever, so on and so forth, Shalachta, Yerushalayim. So let me tell you something. There are escapees. Okay? And they've got kids, Mutsaim, Banim, Bubanot. Now, guess what? They're going to be coming your way, right here to Alexandria. You're going to see them, right? And when you see them, you're going to applaud me. Re'item et alilotam, and then v'nichamtem al ra'a asher aviti al Yerushalayim et kol asher aviti al. You're going to feel good about the Churban when you see these people. V'nichamu etchem. Yes, indeed, it will be rich, a great comfort to know that the Churban was in order to screw these people totally. And you're going to say, wow, that was brilliant. Ki tiru et darkam ve'et alilotam v'yedatem ki lo chinam asiti et asher kol asher asiti. Nu mashem alokim. Okay, says the Radak. Oh, what is that referring to? Hine yotzei melechem. Amar k'neged b'nei ha-gola. So he's speaking to the people in Golas and telling them, Hinei ha-nitzalim b'Yerushalayim yotzim b'galut. There were people that were saved, and now because of this whole Gedalia story, where everything is an upheaval, they're coming out, u'boim aleichem. They're going to come to you. You're going to see them. And when you see them, takiru ki b'din laku. They deserve to be wiped out. Look, the fact that anybody survived was only because I have such rachamim. I couldn't bring myself to wipe out every man, woman, and child. But when you see these people, you're going to say, how come these guys lived? You will see their evil. So even after watching the Churban, they didn't have the least bit of humbling themselves. And who are these people? That is unbelievable. These are the people that were left with Yochanan ben Kareach, who warned Gedalia against the possibility that the Churban would be completed if he didn't take steps to protect himself against Ishmael. What was that story? Now, that story is, as we bring out every year, that story was the story of the Rambam's Eidut. You want to do teshuva? Then you have to be Yoida Lav Yodea Ta'alumot. Okay. These guys are in terror. Gedaliah was killed. The murder of Gedaliah was a direct affront to the Melech of Bavel, who had set Gedaliah up, was supposed to be his agent. They are expecting massive retaliation, and they don't know what to do. Don't take out the gun knowledge. They're expecting massive retaliation. So they decide there's only one way to find out. What should we do? Yirmiyahu HaNavi lives. We are going to go and ask Yirmiyahu. It's the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. He'll be able to get a Nevi'ah from Hashem. It's the closest time of the year, Rosh Hashanah. By Yom Kippur, we'll be given a psak what we should do. Vayikshu kol sareya chayalim. V'yochanan ben kereya. Yezania ben Oshaya, the whole Ha'am Mikaton Va'ad Gadol, that created a Hakel. Every single member. But Yomru El Yirmiyo Anavi, please ask Hashem. Tipolna Tchidatena Lefanecha, Hitpalel Ba'adena Melashem Elokecha. Look at all of these poor people. This is all that's left. Ba'ad Kola Sherita Zor. Nisharnu ma'at mi'arbei kashaynechar, or you see this, all that's left of Klal Yisroel. V'yaged lano Hashem elokechas haderech asher nilech ba. Same words that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. Tagid lam as haderech asher yochu ba, v'es hadavar asher yasu. Yisroel's advice, right? We just want to know the truth. That's all we want to know. Let God tell us what to do. Yirmiyahu hears what they have to say. He thinks this over and he says, listen, Shamati, I hear what you're saying, but it's very dangerous to ask a Navi for what God has to say, because then he has no choice but to tell you what God has to say. And most people don't like what God has to say. And if they don't listen after they know, then they're much worse off than if they hadn't asked in the first place. Sometimes it's better not to ask. Why don't you guys just run on home? Because, look, I mean, he didn't even mitpalel al Hashem lakechem kedivrechem. I mean, if I do what you're saying, then I'm in big trouble, because I'm going to have to tell you that's the mitzvah of Navi. V'haya kol ha'davar asher ya'aneh Adonai etchem, agid lachem. I'm going to have to tell you what he said. Lo emna mikem davar. So no matter how painful it is, you're going to have to do it. Oh, v'hem omru el Yirmiyahu, well, of course. What do you think we came here for? Yehi Adonai banu le'ed emet v'ne'eman. As God is our only witness. Im lo kechol adavar asher yishlachacha Adonai Elohecha eleinu kenase. We are totally prepared to do everything that you tell us. What do you think, we're stupid that we would come to ask you? You sure? Of course we're sure. That's why we're here. Im tov v'imra, doesn't matter if it's good or it's bad. It may run completely counter what we want to hear. B'kol Adonai Eloheinu, asher anachlo shochim otcha, elav nishma. We know that if we don't listen to the Kol Hashem, then things are going to be much worse. L'man asher yitav lanu, because it'll be good for us. This is the last words of our tefillah and musaf on Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, right? L'tov lanu. V'asinu. It's called a mitzvah. That's what they're saying. There it is. They still remember the sounds of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. They're telling him, V'itav lanu, ki nishma b'kol Adonai Eloheinu. And so, v'hi mikzei aseret yamim, at the end of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Now it's Yom Kippur. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and speaks to Yirmiyahu. And he tells Yirmiyahu the most incredibly insane, mad nevius that has ever been said. And he says to them, what I am going, I don't have the copy of what's it. You have the Yirmiyahu open?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Okay. He says to them the most amazing thing. So, doesn't say what he says. It says only that he calls, Yirmiyahu calls them back to tell them what Hashem says. By Kral Yochanan ben Kireach, or Kol Sariah Chayalin, Ulochol Am, the Mikaton Vad Gado, calls the entire nation together again, exactly as it was. By Yomra Alehem, okay, you guys ready? Yeah. Okay. Ko Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Remember, Hashem Shalachtam Oti Elav LaPiltchem Atchem, but you sent me to ask what you're asking. I'm just bringing you the answer. Okay? Here is the answer. I don't kill the messenger. This is the message you asked for. Here is the message. Okay? Nothing to do with me. Yimshov tashuvu be'eretz hazot. If you stay here in Eretz Yisrael, uvaniti etchem v'lo heros, I will build you up. And I will allow nothing to tear you down. V'natati etchem, I will implant you in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo etosh, I won't let you go again. You know why? Because this whole Churban was an awful idea. And I'm sorry about the whole thing. It was a terrible mistake. It's awful. Can't believe how bad it worked out. Don't worry about the politics. Nothing to fear. I'm with you. You understand? It's the first time I'm promising you. Nothing you do will make a difference. I promise you, I am with you, no matter what. He's going to bring everything back, all the things that he stole, all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You have no idea. But I'm warning you, if you don't listen to me, you did end up paying for it. You don't want to listen to me. And you're going to say, we can't take it anymore. Too much pressure, war, politics, nothing to eat. Lunir Av, we want a chicken at every pot. We need a car at every garage. Maybe a second car at every garage. Only one place to go, baby, and that is LA. I mean, Alexandria. We're going to move to Alexandria. If you say that, Shimu Dvar Hashem, I'm warning you. Everything that you are afraid of will invade Eretz Mitzrayim and will destroy you and your families and everything that you were attempting to escape. This is your choice. In exactly the same way that I destroyed Yoshua Yerushalayim, that's what I am going to do. And, Diber Hashem Aleichim, Al Tavo Mitzrayim, Yadoa Teidu Ki Ha'idoti Bachem Hayom. Same language of the Eidos that was used. Amazing. Okay. What is the result of this? Everybody gets up, and of course, they're ready. Wonderful. Ah, what great news this is. And what do they say? They took a look at him. They all get up. You liar. Sheker atamidaber. You know damn well God never would have said that. We know what's going on. It's all politics. He wants us to fall in the hands of it. We're not going to listen to one word, you phony. Can't believe we made the mistake of asking you. And of course, the results are known. Alexandria was destroyed. Everything destroyed. All of these people wiped out. This is the story of the Rambam's incredible Abe Nehman, what happened? Now, this is an amazing Nekuda. I never understood this until today. Nekuda is like this. When Yirmiyahu asked them, listen, you're not going to like the answer, baby. Did they understand, Richie, that you're not going to like the answer means I may have to tell you that you got to stay in Israel? Obviously, those were the only two options. They knew what they wanted to do. They wanted out. They didn't want to go out. If Hashem held, they shouldn't go out. So Yirmiyahu says, you understand that you may not like the answer? Yes. And what happens if Hashem tells you to stay? Then we stay. Swear. That's all we want to do. Okay. So that means they took fully into consideration the possibility that they would be told that they have to stay. And that's what he insisted. Look, I want you to think this out and tell me that you're ready to stay if that's what it comes down to. How in the world, when he tells them, Hashem says to stay, could they possibly say you're a liar if they already included that possibility up front? It doesn't make any sense. They're not crazy. What were they thinking? Why did they swear to call Hashem? They're not stupid people. They were totally and thoroughly committed to the Hamshek of what needed to be done. So how do you explain it? It's not as if it was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. He warned them, listen, I want you to think it over. I may have to tell you to stay. So what was the surprise? Why is he a liar? What happened is that the Nevi'ahs that he said is what made him a liar. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have come back and told Yirmiyahu, listen, Gzeirahi milafanai, every member of Klal Yisrael has to suffer in the same way, and anybody who tries to avoid the suffering will be destroyed. You absolutely have to be part of the Tzoras HaTzibur. And everybody knows, anybody who's not Mishpate from the Tzora of the Tzibur, Ein Araya B'Nechama of Yerushalayim, blah, 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 blah. What would they have said? Okay. Then we're ready to be Meisr Nefesh. Onu, Nishenu, Banenu, we'll all die. If that's what has to be, then that's what has to be. And that would have been 100% fine. But what wasn't fine is that Yirmiyahu spoke to them of a God that they did not know. That was the problem. The new Parnas, the one that came after Rosh Hashanah, who could turn around and say, this Korban stinks to high hell. I am absolutely against Korban. Oh, come off it. Man, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? And we're supposed to be the ones that are going to build up Eretz Yisrael, and now we're the ones that are responsible, and we should make the kibbutzim, and we should fill the earth. Oh, come off it, baby. Nobody ever told you anything like that. You're a liar. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu said? If you're a real lover of God, you know the kind of things he would say and the kind of things he wouldn't say. He would never have said this, you liar. Impossible. Of course he would have said, we have to suffer. Yeah, that we're prepared for. Exactly as the entire religious world was prepared for. Yes, we'll all die. That's fine. But, I mean, what, we're supposed to rebuild Eretz Yisrael? We're supposed to come and believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has decided that he's going to be Bene, and that no matter what, that we could be the biggest schmucks in the world and do everything wrong, and he's still going to be Bene, and everything is going to work. Come off it. That's insane. That's connected to five shruas that were made. That's crazy. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. That's absolutely unbelievable. So who did they make the Eid Neman? The God that they know, the answers that they have. But that was the problem that created the Churban in the first place. That was exactly why Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid was the basis of the Churban. You think that the problem is that we have to be geyser. People may think that after all, you're chayav misa for putting a baal mum into it. Have you nothing else to think about but chumras on what it is that people may think about a baal mum in the Beis HaMikdash when there may not be a Beis HaMikdash? Are you insane? That's what I know. That's what I'm comfortable with. That's the amount of pacha that I can tolerate. Maybe, chas v'sholom, someone may come to make a mistake and think it's mutter to put a mum in a korban. That I recognize. To recognize that there wouldn't be a Beis HaMikdash, that is insane. That's impossible. So it comes out that the closing of the Churban is with the same words that Yochanan ben Kareah said to Gedaliah. Sheker. I mean, Gedaliah said to Yochanan ben Kareah, Sheker ata medaber, which sealed the fate of the original Churban. The Sheker ata medaber, word for word, that they say to Yirmiyahu becomes the absolute proof of the correctness of the Churban and that there wasn't a hope of change. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, these guys drove me out of my mind. That's what happened. And now I've done tshuva. Because it was always chedvash Hashem imu uschem. I never wanted to destroy you. I only wanted to build. But you drove me mad. So now is there somebody who's ready to join up and just rebuild it? Just give me a little group of people. That's all I need. No, oh no, 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 no. You are a liar. So if that's the case, says Yechezkel, you want to celebrate the Churban? You want everybody, instead of feeling bad about the Churban, to clap and to sing Heydad? You'll soon be watching Yochanan ben Kareach and all of the idiots that are with him. And then you'll sing. Because if you think anything has changed when I gave them every possibility for not just a change, but a total, absolute, completely new way of dealing with God, of dealing with Eretz Yisrael, of dealing with Bris, and all they could say is, you're a liar. So if you think anything has changed, you're going to see proof of concept. Here's the Churban walking straight into your communities, and you will all get up and celebrate. Shoot the firecrackers that all of these idiots were wiped out. Your only taina will be that they made it out alive and they shouldn't have. You're right. Sometimes I'm a little too nice. Unbelievable. That's Lashon HaRadak, right? So that means the totality of the limudim that are brought out from the Tzom Gedaliah are absolutely astonishing. From the original limud, that you do not solve problems by going to the other extreme. That you need to find out where the problem lies. To the deeper sense of the fear of transition, which is infinitely deeper. To the unwillingness to be mafachet tamid and to believe this is the God that I know and that is the true and only God, and any Navi that says differently must be a liar. To the recognition of the nature of what Lashon Hara is. To the understanding of how tikkun requires the tikkun that restarts at Rashis and takes on totally new hanhagas that were inconceivable before. And that it's not enough to just get an answer. It requires a completely new way of looking at the world. To understanding that when you are yoyed alav, yodiyata alumot, which is part of the essence of Hilchas Tshuva and Shabbat Tshuva, where we learn out the din from. And that's the Haftorah that we read. It does not mean some namby-pamby telling God, you be my witness. It means the acceptance of the reality that you have no idea. And then the amazing thing is that despite all of the things that we are experiencing, that we spoke about, all of these threads of Maaseh Bereishis that become the realities of the building of the cosmos, the building of your bodies, the building of your brains, and the very thoughts that you're thinking, the particles that create the societies and the ideas and the competitions and the wars and the structure of society and of all of history that has brought you to where you are. The fact that all of it is a quest for love, all of which, including your own thoughts, are completely and totally beyond your power to be Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. But despite all of that, there's only one thing. All of those things are amazing. They are so amazing that they are all called Pele. They're beyond your ability to understand. Your language is beyond your ability to understand because your thoughts are beyond it. That's why Yishkiyafli. The nature of love is beyond your ability to understand. Where does it come from? How could all of those threads become something that is so beyond the mechanisms that I know about that allowed me to develop the capacity for love, which was just purely Darwinian? It's all power and how it reaches back to the very beginning. But there's only one thing that is not a pillar. Tshuva. Lo nifleti mimcha v'lo rechokayi. Why? Because the Edus has made it so clear, this is the way things are. And it has nothing to do with your understanding them. It's just the simple reality. Would you like to respond to simple reality? Would you like to find yourself? Or would you like to continue putting out the massive energies of lies upon lies where you're constantly catching yourself in another lie and need to cover it with yet a more complicated lie? Massive energy to fight reality and to continue the artificial work of turning yourself into this little bubble outside of the universe just because you think it makes you feel comfortable. But I'm telling you, if you just let go, just for a moment, you have no idea of how easy it is to just embrace reality. It's so much easier. It's so much more straightforward. It takes much less work, and it's the most incredibly joyous experience imaginable. So, the one thing that is low niflate that emerges from all of the niflate is kol ha'Torah kula when recognized as being the heftz of truth. That's what it is. And the truth is that at the end, in Tzidek HaDin, we know it. Everybody knows it. At the last moment, everybody knows it. What a life of posturing and fakery and stupidity and all of that waste. Oh, my God in heaven. How is it possible? That's the Uri Yesheni Mishinatchem of the Kol HaShofar on every Rosh Hashanah. That's the Kishem Shebishas Misasar Shel Adam. There's that recognition. That's the recognition that HaShofar brings you on Rosh Hashanah. That Elo asher kolim kol shnosam be'evel v'rik. Habitu l'nafshotechem. My God, look for yourselves. That's all. Nobody wants anything from you. They just want you to stop running away. And this is exactly what Yochanan Kireach was literally running away. And the result of running away was the denial at any cost of a truth that he didn't take into consideration in the beginning. And it's not from the weakness of not being willing to die. Oh, no. We told you. If we have to watch our kids being murdered, we're ready for this. If God says that this is what we have to do. But not things that are not conceivable. Oh, no. The good things? A different God and a different world and a different Yerusha and a different responsibility and a different freedom and a different way to live? No. That we were never prepared for, that can only be a lie. The exact continuation of the Ashrei Adam Mefachid Tamid that brought the Churban in the first place. And as the Navi Yecheskel says, you see, there hasn't been the slightest change. After watching everything and being offered everything, we're exactly where we started from. So please give me a hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the essence of the Tzom Gedalia and the amazing limudim that it has for all of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva and for the nature of Teshuva itself. So may we be zocha that the next Tzom Gedalia will not be a Tzom Gedalia. Amen. All right, everyone. Lech yichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim. Everything is great. Don't forget to be shaleach manot l'misha enlo. We're pretty hungry here. See you all.